Turn to St. John. The book of St. John, the 13th chapter. Let's just pick up about two or three verses in that chapter. Go with me to 33. Verse number 33. John 13, 33. Just two or three verses. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Here in our text, we want to look at just a few thoughts tonight. Jesus gives us a sure way that all men would know him, and amen, that we were a follower of him, and amen, and that's by our love to him and one another. God's people were always have been taught to love one another, but also to love as Jesus loved tonight. It's as though Jesus has given a farewell command to his disciples. He was traveling on the road. We know that he must travel alone. And if you're ever to hear his voice, it was now. Love is the evidence of true discipleship tonight. It's not that we all dress alike. Thank God there is a dress standard. It's not that we all talk alike, all do the same thing, but the best evidence is we love one another. We can have diversity among us. Amen. But with all that diversity, we can still love one another. We're part of the body of Christ, and our actions represent Jesus Christ. Amen, as if he was right here in your corporal body. We have different opinions, but we don't have to put others down because they differ from ours. Turn with me to Mark, the 10th chapter. St. Mark, chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Now that was a good question, and I'm sure it was sincere at the time. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered, and he said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Otherwise, I was trained in these commandments. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast. Give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at this saying, and he went away. And he went away grieved. Why? For he had great possessions. Jesus knew, no doubt from the beginning, the young man's problem, and also no doubt knew that rejection was going to follow. But verse 21 says, beholding him, he loved him. Amen. We cannot let different opinions that people have separate us. Now, I'm not talking about truth. I'm talking about opinions. Love and truth are inseparable. Amen. I repeat, you don't love God any more than you love truth. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I remember one time going to visit a brother, and at that time I went with Brother Linger, I believe it was. We went and visited a brother who was having a struggle, and it seemed like he always would talk about love, but he never would last long as far as serving God. And in our conversation, I was kind of new at this, but in our conversation, I said, well, the scripture says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And oh, brother, and it was like I said the wrong thing, because he really got upset, like I was trying to preach to him or something like that. But when you talk about the love of God, you don't love God any more than you love the truth. You can't be out here doing your own thing and love God at the same time. James, the third chapter, the book of James, chapter number 3, beginning with verse number 10. James writes this, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be, that the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter. Can a fig tree, my brethren, amen, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man, endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Amen. Otherwise, how can one who loves God speak phrases of love about God, then in the next breath, amen, he brings up the water being bitter, it would cuss or swear. James says, out of the same mouth comes blessing and cursing, and hadn't ought to be. Then he says, these things ought not to be so. Amen. Out of the fountain, they don't produce both bitter and sweet. The vine don't give forth both grapes and figs. Amen. Again, love was always commanded under the old law. Go to the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, one verse there, verse number 18. Thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. I am the Lord. Amen. It wasn't a new commandment to love one another. God's people have always been taught to love one another. But the new part, or the new commandment, was to love as Jesus loved. Here was a mark, amen, that the whole world would know that you were a follower of Christ, and that was love. A mark that even a Christian would know that he was a child of God. Turn with me to 1 John, chapter number 3, verse number 14. 1 John 3. 14. We know that we have passed from death, spiritual death, unto eternal life, because we love the brother. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. To be able to remain sweet in your soul, you have to spend time with Jesus Christ. There's going to be a lot of things come up. A lot of things you're going to be faced with to try your love. Amen. And that's why it pays to spend time with Jesus Christ. The commandment was also new because here was a people who would be known by their love, not by external rites. Jesus' love was selfishness. Amen. He selflessness. He gave himself and all he had to those he loved. He was willing to get down the feet of his betrayer. Even though the devil had already entered into the heart of Judas Iscariot. John the 13th chapter, verse number 3 says, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. Here was a love betrayed before us, amen, that would not be conquered by hate, by bitterness, wouldn't give way to attitudes, or even self. Self wasn't on display in the love of Jesus. It wasn't a conditional love, expecting something in return. Jesus' love reaches out to the whole world, amen, with nothing in return. His love was sacrificial, even to the cross. Love doesn't always bring happiness, but sometimes it brings pain and also suffering. His love was built on forgiveness. And without forgiveness, there is no love of God. Love did not carry prejudice. Today, dear ones, our love, our mark of discipleship is coming under fire. And our love is going to be tried. There's going to be warring factions continually trying to upset our love for one another. Disagreements are going to arise between brothers and sisters, but love will keep them, amen, from becoming a warring faction. We need to be extra cautious, church, not ignorant of Satan's devices. You know, Satan can't stand for people to get along. He can, whether it's in the home with a couple, parents and children, congregations, brothers, sisters, friends, the devil can't stand for that, amen, unity together and love together. But we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Paul, writing to the Corinthian brethren, warns him. He said in 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, and verse number 11, he writes this, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. And that word devices is plural. Amen. Knowing that there's many ways that the enemy will work. The devil will stop at nothing to hinder a quartet that sings. Trios. Duets. Solos. He'll work on the choir. The players on the instruments. It makes no difference to him how he does it as long as he gets the job done. Amen. Piano players, how the devil like to take out every single piano player. Those that are gifted, those that God has been using. Amen. How the devil like to come in, take out piano players, organ players. He like to hinder our camp meeting workers. The workers on the trumpeter. Worker goes forth on the grounds. He liked to touch every part of the work here at God's Acres he possibly could touch. How many quartets, church? How many trios? How many players has been knocked out, stopped, because the devil got in through some small insignificant thing and made a big issue out of it. And instead of once taking it to the Lord, they brood over it, make it a larger problem than when it started. Then what happens? Somebody usually quits or loses out completely. Amen. We need to not give place, church, to the devil tonight. This message is very serious, I feel, because without the right attitude toward God and toward one another, heaven is going to be in jeopardy. And I feel ones don't truly understand what the love of God really expects out of you and I. We know John 3:16 well. I knew it before I was even saved. For it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But listen to what James said. He said in James 4:4, James write this, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. God allowed his Son to die for an enemy. God's children are peace lovers, if at all possible. James, the 3rd chapter, verse number 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Hebrews, the 13th chapter, right at the start of that chapter, verse 1, the Hebrew writer said this, let brotherly love continue. Love is the basis, church, for hospitality. It's a basis for compassion for those in trouble. Love, love for God will cause you to stand against wrong. Love will also cause you to be content. Paul said, let this love remain. Let it endure. Let it abide. Don't stop it from continuing. Amen. False religion plus the world have got to see something work, church, in our lives that they possibly don't possess. Love is a real struggle if your heart isn't pure. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 22, seeing you purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. We can't have impurities in our heart and have fervent love. There's singers, there's entertainers. They sing and they talk about the love of God. But it's in vain when the heart isn't right and there are impurities within. The Christian is going to be misused, mistreated, misrepresented. He's going to be mistaken. But he dares not allow revenge to plant its ugly seed in their heart. Jesus was face to face with a betrayer. And not long from the cross, but he was still able to get down at the betrayer's feet and wash his feet. There are going to be times when you feel you are right, but there might be others who disagree. Then is the time we should step back and we should ask ourselves, how would Jesus handle the situation? What about those who do not love their brother? Today, in today's world, it's like, so what? So what? What about those who do not love their brother? It's just like they were on death row. They are in the eyes of the Lord, the same as a murderer. You know, that's pretty serious. In God's eyes, if we don't love somebody, our brother, it's like we're sitting on death row with no pardon coming. 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 14. 1 John 3:14. We know we pass from death into life because we love the brother. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. John said, we commit murder, and our sentence is going to be in a lost eternity. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 43. Matthew 5:43 says it. You've heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's a pretty strong scripture. Love your enemies. Bless them and curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I've told you as a congregation before, when we went through some hard times as a pastor, when I would get either a phone call, text message, email, whatever, and they don't sign them. See, they don't have enough backbone to sign them. But one thing I would do, I would go in and pray for that individual. Why? It kept it out of my heart. It kept it out of my heart. And while I prayed for the individual, I also God to help me not to get bitter or revengeful. A lack of love shows a lack of salvation. 1 John 4:8 says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. You cannot, church, love God and disobey at the same time. You cannot love God and have hate for your brother. 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse number 20. 1 John 4:20 says this. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother. Now, this is pretty simple. He is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? First John 4 and 7 says this. First John 4 and 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, amen. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. You cannot be a child of light and hate Jesus. Amen. You cannot be a child of light and also hate your brother. 1 John 2 and 9, he that saith he's in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even unto now. And whoever doesn't love his brother is not living a righteous life. 1 John 3 and 10. In this the children of God are manifest, children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Love is the greatest gift of all. And it's one the devil is going to work the hardest on. When sin starts, when it begins to work, then there's a waxing cold of love. Listen to the words of Jesus. Matthew 24 and 12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. This waxing cold, amen, on our love is not an overnight process, but a gradual deceptive work on the heart of the Christian. The church, amen, is going through a trying time, amen, especially right now. And the love, the devil's love to get us to combat one another. But the enemy is the devil, not each other. Let's read a little bit about charity or love before we close tonight. Turn to me in 1 Corinthians 13th chapter, verse 4. The love chapter. Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, or doesn't puff itself up, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love is patient. Or suffereth long. Amen. Amen. The word that's used here is of the man who has been wrong and could easily have in his power to avenge himself, but yet he doesn't do it. It describes a man who is slow to anger and is used of God himself in his relationship with men. In our dealings with men, amen, however obstinate and however unkind and hurting they are, we must exercise the same patience as God exercised with us. One has said, such patience is not the sign of weakness, but the sign of strength. It's not defeatism, but rather that's the only way to victory. I read a story, and as I read it again, I've read this before, but it's really good, of a man who had the love of God in him. Talk about Abraham Lincoln. And he was treated with contempt by one of his cabinet members. His name was Stanton. You can read this in history. Stanton called him a low, cunning clown. He nicknamed him the original gorilla. And one was a fool to wander about in Africa trying to capture a gorilla when he could easily find one so easily in Springfield, Illinois. Lincoln didn't say anything. But he made Stanton his war minister because he was the best man for the job, and he treated him with every courtesy that he could. The years went by. Then the night finally came when an assassin's bullet, amen, took down Lincoln in the theater. They laid him to rest, and they brought him in, amen, into a home, in a little room, and the president's body was taken there, and there at his body stood the same man, Stanton. And he looked down on Lincoln's silent face, it says, and tears come to his eyes. He said, there lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen. What happened? The patience of love had conquered in the end. Love is kind. Amen. One as well said, so much of Christianity is good, but there are some Christians unkind. Love knows no end of envy, or envieth not. There are two types of envy. The one covets the possession of other people, and such envy is very difficult to avoid because it's a very human thing within us. But the other type of envy is worth. It grudges the very fact that others should have what they don't. It doesn't so much want things for itself, but it wishes that others didn't have it. Love is no braggart, or vaunteth not itself. True love will always be far more impressed with its own unworthiness than with its merit. Love is not inflated with its own importance or puffed up. The really great man never thinks of his own importance. There was a man named Carey. He was a missionary. But he began his life as a shoe cobbler. And he turned out to be one of the greatest missionaries. Amen. One of the greatest who spoke, because he spoke several languages. Amen. He spoke more languages. Amen. It was used mightily of God. He translated the Bible into 34 Indian languages. But when he came to India, he was regarded with dislike and contempt. At a dinner party, somebody who couldn't stand him, was real snobbish acting, wanted to humiliate him. And he said in a tone where everybody could hear it, "I suppose, Mr. Carey, you once worked as a shoemaker." He spoke, he said, "No, your lordship." He answered, "Not a shoemaker, only a cobbler. I only fixed him. I didn't make him." Love does not behave itself, amen, unseemly. There are Christians who make a delight in being very blunt, sometimes almost brutal in their answers. Amen. We need to be careful how we speak to others. Love does not insist upon its rights or seeketh not her own. Amen. Love never flies into a temper, easy provoked. And I'm hurrying on. Love does not store up the memory of every wrong it has received or thinketh no evil. Many people nurse their wrath or anger and keep it warm. They brood over their wrongs until it's impossible to forget them. One thing about being a Christian, we learn how to forget. Forget. Love finds no pleasure in evil doing, or rejoices not in iniquity. Amen. Love rejoices with the truth. Love loves the truth. Love can endure anything, or beareth all things. It's trusting. Love never ceases to hope. Amen. Or hopeth all things. How many people have an Adam Clark commentary? Anybody here have Adam Clark commentary? I do. And I think there's others that probably have a commentary of Adam Clark also. He's a great scholar. He's one of the great theologians. He's a commentator. But at school, he was very slow to learn. Well, one day, a distinguished minister paid a visit to the school. And the teacher singled out Adam Clark and said, "That's the stupidest boy in the school." He told that visitor, "This Adam Clark is the stupidest, dumbest student I've got in the school." Well, before he left the school, the visitor came to the boy and he said it kindly. He said, "Never mind, my boy. You may be a great scholar someday. Don't be discouraged, but try hard and keep on trying." And anybody that's got an Adam Clark commentary knows that God really used him in a special way. Love bears everything with triumphant fortitude, or endureth all things. In closing, God would have us to allow the searchlight of his word to light up the inner chambers of our hearts. And as God lights it up, to see if there's any impurities that's working within. God is the originator of love. And it's to God we must go to keep our love fervent. We never want God to accuse us, church, of having a lack of love or leaving it. It's what holds us together. That's the band, the bond that keeps us together. And it's also a priority to the devil to destroy it. Love. Amen. A new commandment. How are we to love? As Jesus loved tonight. Jesus loved his enemy, and Jesus died for his enemy, for the sins of the whole world. As we close the message tonight, I ask you, how is the love of God working in your own life?